there. Mark chapter 2 is where we're headed today. So today, we've got a couple of things going on right now. One is that we're coming to a close of our missions month this morning with our faith promise commitments that are going to be made in just about 2 hours from now. So that's an important step in the annual calendar of our church, amen? I mean, it's a big step that we take this morning, and we hope and trust and pray that many have prepared for that. So I'm looking forward to that. Faith Promise will be collected today. It'll also be collected next week and probably one other week as well. And so so we've been challenged. We've been challenged about missions abroad. We've been challenged about missions here in our community. And what I want to do is I want to talk to you about a couple of things. I want to get some ideas from everybody this morning. All right, so is everybody awake? Did you have enough coffee? Just nod your head. No, you did not have enough? All right. Well, I want to talk about some things. I want to talk today about when the mission becomes personal. When the mission becomes personal. Now, if you'll forgive me for being a bit like a grade school teacher, would you say that with me? Ready? Begin. When the mission becomes personal. So we've got the idea where we've got to send our monies, we've got to send missionaries, we've got to get out into the field. But also we've heard a lot about how we are personally responsible here, right? We're responsible in our community. I'm going to ask Dad, could you help me with something real quick? Could you get me a couple of those new tracks that we have? I meant to grab them before and I forgot to. Just one of each of the Christmas ones, both of them, the new Knowing God one. You may be wondering this morning why I have this gift here, and how many of you noticed that there are some gift bags all around the church? You've seen that? Well, there's two purposes for this gift bag. I'm going to share them with you today. One, I'm going to share right now. This bag right here is it's a gift bag, and I'm using this one as the sample because I broke I broke it, so this is the sample one. But what this is just a, you know how whenever we have guests in the service, we always welcome them, we ask them to fill out a guest welcome card. We tell them we'd like to send them a thank you for being with us. Well, what we've done is we've kind of stepped that up. And thank you. What this is just a welcome gift. It's a small gift. When a first-time guest comes to our church, we've prepared a small gift for them. So at the end of the service, we'll give this to them for them to take home. And we put together a nice little package. I'll show you. You're dying to know what's in here, aren't you? I mean, everybody's just like, the suspense is killing you. But there's tissue paper in here. Everybody, you got to have some tissue paper. And what we did is we just got some. It's very inexpensive. These bags, this whole bag only costs a few dollars. I think it's less than $5 for everything that you see here. And it's just a nice thing for someone to take home. Why would we give a gift to a guest? I mean, people should come to church, right? I mean, why would we give a gift to a guest? To thank them for what? To what? Makes someone feel welcome. Just a small token. Have you ever, it's almost like we heard that custom last week of when you go to someone's house. Remember we heard about that in Arab culture, just a gift. You know, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs that a man's gift makes a way for him. And so the principle of the giving of a gift as a show of hospitality, as a demonstration of love and thankfulness, is a biblical principle. So that's why we do it, actually. So what we've done in here is we've got some things. It's empty now. But basically, we have a nice coffee or tea mug that has our church information on it, something just so that when people get up in the morning, they can remember that some people at Mount Greylock Baptist Church cared about them. And so we've got a nice little coffee mug that we're going to give them. And also, obviously, depending on the season, right now we put a Christmas tract in here. It's the tract that everybody's seen that we give out. So it's a nice, got the plan of salvation on it. The other thing we're giving them is just a little refrigerator magnet. So there's some promotional things in here. Nice little refrigerator magnet. And then a couple of church cards that we already give people when they fill out the welcome card. In addition to that, a rather disappointing plastic pen with our logo on it. I ordered them online and they didn't come back quite as nice as I was hoping. Charlie's face right there, that about summarizes. No, you've got the good, you've got the perfect reaction, like, yeah. But no, so that's what we've got. Just a small gift, and then maybe some of our favorite parts. There's some goodies in here, like Linder truffles. How many like Linder truffles? You know, unfortunately, you can't be a visitor all over again, but you can go get these at the store. They're pretty inexpensive. And just some candy, some sweets, some good stuff in there, just so that, you know, the Bible also says that sometimes we give out candy to the kids in junior church, too. And some people, you know, I don't think we should do tons of it, but some people, oh, what about that? You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is sweet like what? Like the honeycomb. And there was a practice and I'm not an expert in Hebrew customs, but there's a practice among the Hebrews that as the children were being taught the Word of God, they would dip them, they would give them just a little bit of honey to sweeten it, to remember that the things of God are always sweet. So we do this both as a way of, obviously it's promotional, we want people to remember us, we want people to come back, but it's also just a way, a simple, small way for a few dollars to show someone that we care, that we're interested in them. How many of you think this is something you could get behind? This is a good idea? Amen? All right? Good. If you're opposed to it, well, we'll talk never. No, I'm just kidding. That's just a joke. So it's a nice little gift that we're giving. Now, the other reason, I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in the service this morning, is we are going to put not exact, but similar gift bags like this together for all of our police officers in North Adams this Christmas. Some of us got together and thought, you know, with the climate in our country of hostility towards police officers, that we want them to know that they're on our prayer list, we pray for them, we care about them. So we're not going to put as much of like the promotional stuff in there, you know, like the magnet and things like that. We don't want them to think that this is just a way for us to promote. But we'll give them the mug, we'll give them some nice candies and sweets for the holidays, we'll put a Christmas track in there as well. And we also would like to put just a small gift card in there. Maybe Dunkin' Donuts gift card, something like that, so that they can enjoy that in a coffee or two on us. So we priced it all out. It'll be about $10 for a bag like that for 32 police officers. So in the announcement time this morning, we're just going to ask people that if a family would be willing to say, you know what, I may not live in North Adams. I don't live in North Adams. Many of you don't. But this is the community where our church is, right? And these are the police officers that will help us if we ever have a problem right here. So this year, we want to do that. We're also going to prepare a large basket for all of the fire, for the fire station and for the ambulance workers. We don't, Aaron went and found out how many there are, and there are just so many for a church our size to do personalized for all of them would be a little bit too much for us. So we're going to just put some big gift baskets together to bring those stations. Now, what we're going to do is there's going to be a Wednesday night. I don't believe this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday, we will all come together in our prayer meeting. We'll still have our Bible study and prayer time, but we're going to put these bags together, and we're going to pray over them that night. We're going to ask the Lord to bless our police officers, our first responders. The Bible says we're commanded to pray for those who are in authority over us. Paul's instructions to Timothy was to pray for them that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness. So that's what we want to do. That is coming up. So again, I'll say more about that. But back to what this is for our guests. I want to encourage us. Christmas time is the very best time of the year, this and Easter, to invite people to church. Right? Have you found that to be true? I mean, it's so easy. Yesterday, there were, how many of us? I want to say 10 of us that went out yesterday to, some did the bus route, and others were going door to door, leaving our Christmas card invitations. How many of you grabbed at least one of those Christmas cards to give somebody? Who's got one? All right? Get a Christmas card. So we went out with the door hangers, and we did 200 homes in the community just yesterday. And you never know how the Lord leads in these opportunities. It's so easy to say, hey, what are you doing? What's going on? Oh, we're leaving Christmas cards in the neighborhood. What kind of a Scrooge do you have to be to say, ah, get out of here, I don't want that. So we're leaving Christmas cards in the neighborhoods. People take them, and then we say, yeah, we're out with some friends from our church, and this is just a way for us to let you know we care, remind us that Jesus is the reason for the season. So we did that, and I got to meet a man named Charlie. I'd like you to pray for Charlie. It was very clear that that Charlie's lived a difficult life. He looks much older than he actually is. He told me how old he was. And we talked. We probably talked for 15 minutes. Did I lead him to the Lord right then and there? No. But we got to go through the gospel. We got to talk. And I said to him, I said, Charlie, would you consider being my guest at church tomorrow. If I came and picked you up, would you come with me? We're going to have a nice dinner. We're going to have a good time. And I tried, oh, no, I won't be. He wasn't going to do that. You know, it wasn't going to happen today. But I said, how about this? How about we get together some other time? Would that be okay? He said, yeah. He said, yes. And I said, all right, what's your number? And Charlie gave me his number, gave me his information. And so you pray for Charlie that I'll be able to reach him and connect with him. But that's how it works, right? One person at a time. It doesn't have to be so, it doesn't have to be all confrontational. It doesn't have to be all intense and in your face. It's about someone caring for someone that they meet or someone that they know. So I want to encourage you to take the mission personally. And what we're trying to be is a church where if you invite your coworker, or if you invite your friend or your family member, if you invite someone to come and just to visit, it's an introduction to the gospel. It's an introduction to a place where people love each other, where there's wonderful uplifting music, where there's a message from the Word of God that give them something solid to build their life on. So invite a friend, share the gospel. And along those lines, we have purchased several new tracks for you to use as well. All right? We've got a great track here called, and they're all a little bit different. And so take a look at them. They're out there. Read through them. Knowing God. It talks about how a person can have a real relationship with God. Knowing God is a great new track. Obviously, the Christmas tracks. Use these up because they're only good one time a year. All right? So these Merry Christmas tracks are terrific. We've also got the standby that we've had for years, God's Simple Plan of Salvation, and another one called Peace. So this one talks about finding true peace through knowing Jesus, and this one is more a very systematic explanation of what it means to be saved, what it means to be a Christian. So we've got these resources, and they are opportunities for us to have conversations with people and meet people. But it has to begin, first of all, point number one, if we're going to take the mission personally, it's got to begin, number one, I'd encourage you to jot a couple things down. We're in Mark chapter 2. It's got to begin with personal compassion, right? It's got to begin with personal compassion. Look at Mark chapter 2, verse number 1. I should pray. I don't think that we had a word of prayer. So let's pray and then we'll read the verses this morning. God, we love you. We thank you for your great love for the world. And I thank you that we get to be a part of this awesome plan of seeing your gospel spread and seeing people become Christians and be baptized and become a part of a local church. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be personal about it and to care about people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Personal number one, what? Personal, I said it? I guess I better say it again. Let me give you a little hint this morning. Every point is going to be PC. Not politically correct, but the letter P and then the letter C. And the P is always going to be, what do you think? Personal. All right, got two people with me this morning. It's going to be personal. So first of all, it's about personal compassion. Personal compassion. Notice this is one of my favorite stories in Mark chapter 2. Jesus is, it's very early in his ministry. He's healed people. His miraculous ministry has begun. And people have begun to hear about him. And all of a sudden, Jesus has become the most popular person in all of the land of Israel. Famous. You've got to hear this teacher. You've got to see this healer. You've got to hear from this miracle worker. He says things that no one has ever said before. By the way, don't ever let that get old to you. Don't ever let that get dry or stale, that we have the words of Jesus and their words unlike any other words that have ever been spoken before. And he is a Savior. So it says in Mark chapter number 2, verse number 1, and again, he entered into Capernaum. Someone tell me what's unique about the town of Capernaum. Does anyone know what's unique about Capernaum, that city? Go ahead. You know what? It's the place where Jesus was. Yeah, that was the base of all of his ministry. He did more in Capernaum than anywhere else. That was the base in Galilee. And he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised. It was noised. In other words, people found out that Jesus was coming. It was noised that he was in the house. So, we don't know who owns this house. But you know, those of you who know the end of the story, this poor guy's house is about to have probably something that he never expected to happen. But it was noise. Everybody found out that Jesus was in the house. Listen, we're taking Jesus all around the world this month with missions, right? But let's not forget, it's so important that people in this community know that, quote unquote, there's a house where Jesus is. The house of God, the house of the living God, the family of God, the people of God. We are God's building. We are God's house. And so it was noise. People began to find out, wait a minute, Jesus is in this place. In our city, in our town, in that very house right there. Guess who's there? Who's there? Come on, play along with me, folks. Who's? Have you heard? I mean, you got. I'm just going to ask you. I got started doing this, teaching little kids. So I'm just going to do that this morning. Okay, is that all right? Here we go. Who's in the house? Did you hear? Can you believe it? What? Who? Did you hear who's in the house? You heard about it, didn't you? And just going crazy. Everybody's found out Jesus is in the house. They were excited that Jesus was there. Are we excited that Jesus is in this place? I mean, really, is it all just about, well, we go to a Baptist church, and it's a Bible-believing Baptist church? Yeah, that is what it is. But what's exciting about it is that Jesus is here, and he's doing things in people's lives, and he's changing people's lives. He's changing their eternity. People that were bound for hell are going to heaven. Why? Because he's here. He's in the house. And do your friends know? Do your family know? Do the people in the community know? Has it been noised abroad that Jesus is in the house? Boy, I hope so. I hope we don't get bored with it. And it's just church, because that's just a religion, folks. You can find religion all over the place. You can find a place where people just live by rules and regulations. But if you want to experience Jesus, it comes through a personal relationship. Jesus is in this place, and it was noised abroad. But you got to care. And there were some guys that really cared. Let's notice these people with their personal compassion. It says, it was noised that he was in the house. In verse number 2, and straightway many were gathered together. Boy, I don't want to miss the assembling of the house where Jesus is. That's for free. You can chew on that a little bit later. But I'm going to be here. Sunday morning, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here whenever it is feasible, whenever it is possible, I'm going to be at the place where God's people are because Jesus is in the midst. And many people began to fill that house. Now, this poor guy that owns the house, I mean, he's looking. And they're coming in the door. And they're coming. One, you've seen the opposite, right? At the circus, the clown car, right? They just keep coming and coming and coming and coming. Well, this is the total opposite of that. The guy's door's open at his house, and there's people over here, and there's people over there. Where are we going to put all these people? We better get the extra chairs. Boy, how many of you remember when we used to set out extra chairs every now and then here? Been a little while since we set out extra chairs, right? But how many believe God can do that again? You know that? Why? Because we've got a great show going on? No, because... because Jesus is here. That's right. And so this guy's putting out extra chairs. He's making room over here. But they just can't squeeze another body into this house. The doors are blocked. The windows are blocked. There's no way to go in. But there's some people that have some serious compassion. I know I keep saying that, but let's see. Verse number 2 again. Straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Boy, there's just so much to keep commenting on here. Wherever Jesus is, what should be going on? Come on, what is it? Preaching of the word. Music is great. Lots of other special stuff is great. But Jesus' ministry was about preaching the word of God because it's the word that gives life. So, what happens? It says here that he preached the word unto them. Verse 3. Now, notice this. And they come unto him. They, who is this they? All the people? Nope, it's going to clarify it. Bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of 4. There were 4 friends of one man who had a terrible disease. We found out that this man was stuck in a bed. He couldn't walk. He couldn't live a normal life. He was fettered by this disease. He was chained by this disease. And he lived in a condition unable to help himself. But he had 4 friends who were healthy. They were full of strength, full of vigor, full of life, and he was not. And those 4 friends said, I heard about a place where Jesus was. I heard about a place where Jesus is, and the one friend looked at the other, and the other one looked at the two of them, and the fourth one's over there, and they all got together and they said, we have got to get him to the place where Jesus is. We've got to get him. Why? Because they cared. Now, you may not know people who are crippled and diseased and in that kind of way, but you know people whose marriages are crippled, don't you? You know people whose children are a mess and their hearts are broken. You know people who are on drugs. You know people who are alcoholics. You need people who are, you know, people who just think that their materialism is going to live, but is going to give them a good life, but they're empty inside. Do we know people like that? But do we have the compassion to say, you know what? Hey, listen, you've got to come with me. I'm not trying to shove religion on you or any of that. I just want you to see it. I just want you to hear it. I just want you to think about it, because Jesus changes everything. Do you believe that? But you've got to have the compassion. And these four men, they had compassion, but they had a problem. They had a problem. And that was what? They couldn't get in. You know, it was said in the 1800s when the great pastor Charles Spurgeon was the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, that so many people were coming to hear the preaching of the word that they couldn't house everyone in this, one of the largest buildings in all of London. And they actually had to give out tickets, so you would go at a certain time to be able to be, they couldn't get there. We don't have that problem today, by the way. There's no obstacle to those doors for people to come in. There's no obstacles for us in our country to freely share the gospel with someone else. Those doors are wide open. But you know what? As we have compassion, there are some obstacles that come, right? There are people that have attitudes, or there are people that are turned off, and there's indifference and coldness, and there's all of these personal kinds of things that are hindrances to the gospel. But it starts with compassion, first of all. But secondly, then, sometimes, for you and I, it's going to take some personal creativity. These guys had a plan. They're like, crowded door? That ain't no problem. Can't get in the windows? No worries. We've got a plan. And they looked up. You thinking what I'm thinking? Oh yeah, we're going Santa Claus style, right? Sorry for the Christmas pun, all right? So they climb up that house. And remember, the roofs are probably flat and they're probably thatched. Well, let's just read what happens here. It says that when they, verse number 4, could not come nigh him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They got this guy. Now, this guy had to have some faith to trust his friends. You know, he's just laying there, and they climb up on the roof, and he's got the bed, and it's probably more like a cot, and there's a rope over here, rope over here, rope over here, and they're just going, and then everybody in the room's a bit, what is going on? I've never seen things like this happen before. These guys had some compassion, and it led to some creativity. We're not going to stop just because there's an obstacle. We're not going to shut down just because it looks difficult. We're going to come up with a creative solution for this problem. We're going on the roof. And they ripped that guy's roof apart. They tear the thing apart, and they find a creative way to get him. Can you help me this morning? What are some creative ways for us to get the gospel to our friends? Because, you know, you've invited people to church before, and they just say, no, maybe. Oh, yeah, one day. It doesn't happen. So maybe we need to get a little more creative like these guys. They weren't just like, oh, well, they didn't want to come. They didn't want to hear. They didn't want to know. What are some creative ways? Christmas time is the best time of the year for creative gospel outreach. Somebody help me. Have you been thinking about it? Do you know? How are you going to reach your neighbors? How are you going to reach your friends? What's a creative way to reach someone with the gospel? I'll tell you, one thing that as a church we try to make it a little simpler is we have Christmas-themed services, and people are already thinking about it. So beginning today, a season to celebrate. We're going to talk about Christmas. We've got programs for your kids and your family. Come check it out. At least give it a try. But what about you personally? What are some creative ways? I've got one that my wife and I have done in the past. We're going to do it this year. What are some creative ways to reach people with the gospel? Okay, you could talk to them about that. Somebody else, something creative. To create an open door with somebody. Well, that's right, for our police officers, right? We're going to put the gospel in there. A man's gift makes a way for him. So that's a creative outreach to someone like that, yeah. Yeah. And those, now, and of course, you've got to be kind and considerate to that person all year long, right? And then, because that's what makes the difference, your sincerity. But that's great. I know Deborah and I, we've done this previous years. We're going to do it this year. We take all the neighbors that are closest to us. Because some of us live in areas, how it is around here, like if you don't live in a tight neighborhood, if you're a little spread out, you never even know your neighbors, right? I mean, it happens sometimes. So what we're going to do is what we're going to do. I mean, Deborah bakes all the cookies. But I'm going to go with her, right? We make a little bag of Christmas cookies, personalized. We've done loaves of bread before. We're going to go out. We're going to get our family Christmas card printed. We're going to put that on there. We're going to go to the neighbors. We're going to have a church invitation. We're going to go and we're going to say, hey, we're the Malachucks. We've been here for about a year. We haven't really met you yet. And George is getting excited because he's on my road. He thinks he's going to get some Christmas cookies. No, I'm just yeah, shotgun, right? So anyway, to go and just say hi. And you know, we did this at our old neighborhood in Bennington, and it was amazing. It was amazing how many people were just so thrilled to meet a family, to get something like that. And you know, nobody was like, oh, I'll take your cookies, but take that cookie track thing back. You know, get that out of here. You know, nobody's like that. So creative ways to say, yeah, this is who we are. They may not come this Christmas season, but as you build relationships with people and open doors begin. I know that some of our ladies in our church, some of the women got together and they wanted to do a cookie swap this year. And we'll announce this on Sunday too, in the morning service. But they wanted to do a cookie swap. But instead of just exchanging cookies with each other, they thought, you know, it would be great this year because we had all of this bus ministry outreach. Let's do a cookie swap, but let's bring those to all the families on that ride in on the bus. Just to say, hey, we appreciate you, we appreciate your families, we appreciate your children. To make creative ways to reach out to people and show them that we care. Can anybody else help the group? Any ideas? Creative ways to share the gospel with people? These guys tore a roof open, all right? What can we do? Yeah, tear something down, make a big ruckus, make a scene. Yeah. Just by helping people. Okay, here's another great one. Take one of I've heard churches that do whole campaigns around this. Take one of those Christmas tracks, okay? And I'm going to grab the other one right now, but take one of those tracks, and next time you're at Dunkin' Donuts or McDonald's, next time you're at one of those places, or Starbucks if you're out of the area, right? Next time you're at one of those places, say, hey, when you're checking out your coffee or whatever, say, you know what? Could I pay for the person behind me in the drive-thru? And you know what they'll say? Yeah, of course. I had somebody do that for me once randomly at a Starbucks. I got there, they're like, oh, they paid for your order already. I'm like, oh, how nice. You go and say, you know what? I'd like to pay for that. And you know why? Because I'm just excited that it's Christmas time. I'm excited about Jesus, and I want to give you one of these cards, and I want you to give one to those people behind me and let them know that their coffee's on me. And hopefully they didn't go for the $20. You know, you're stuck then, man. I mean, you are stuck. If you're like, can I pay for those? You don't want to be like, how much was it? You know? You got to just go out on a limb. By the way, you ought to have a little money set aside for things like that. I believe that. That you ought to have a little bit of money that's for other people. I'm not going to tell you how much it should be, but it would be a great idea to say, you know what, I'm going to set a little bit of money aside that I can give. I learned that from a preacher years ago, that there's always a little bit of others' money that I can spend on someone else. But that makes an impression on somebody. Anybody else? Any other ideas? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I forgot that one. You could say, listen, it's Christmas, and would you come to church with our family? Would your family come to church with our family this week? Because let's go out to breakfast, or let's go out to lunch after church. And just, our kids love it, our family loves it, I've been there, and I just want you to experience it. Would you come and be a part? And then we'll all go out and we'll have lunch afterwards. Right? That's showing compassion, and that's showing creativity. Showing that we care. These guys, they were going to do whatever it took. Brother Jim, you had something else? Yep. So you, when you take those, you actually get to deliver the gift yourself? Great. So you buy the gift, and in the gift, you put a little card or a little letter or a little personalized note, something like that. And so all these things are great creative ways. Absolutely. Absolutely. You might know somebody. You might know somebody that's having a tough time this year. You help them out. You reach into their life. And like this gentleman I was telling you about, Charlie, I said to him, would you come to church with me? No, not this time. I got too much going on. He didn't seem to have a busy schedule, but he had too much going on. I said, well, how about we have a cup of coffee sometime? Do you have anybody to talk to? Do you have any friends or family around? He's like, nope, nobody really. So how about we have a cup of coffee sometime? And so now, why am I telling you this? Well, one is to encourage you. You know, why do you think the other reason I'm telling you this story? To pray. And then a third reason, so that next week or the following week, you can come up to me and be like, hey, whatever happened with Charlie? Right? Because those things are easy to be like, yeah, that would be a really good idea. I should do something like that. Oh, and just forget about it. But that's what it takes. Creativity. Okay, so there's two more real quick. We're already out of time. The third one is this. Not only, and I already talked about it, it's personal compassion, personal creativity, but personal cost. Sometimes it costs something. We know that in missions, right? If we want to get the gospel to the world, it's going to cost us something. But what cost could be too great to give eternal life? Is there any cost too great for us to pay? There's not. There's a couple of people that were willing to pay the cost here. Well, there's four guys. What do you think they were thinking when they tore that guy's roof apart? What? This guy's going to kill us, and to keep him from killing us, what are we going to have to do? Put this roof back together. And we're going to have to spend some of our money to put this thing back together. And we're going to have to spend some of our time. There's going to be a cost involved in this person finding Jesus. There's a cost involved for us, a cost of our money, a cost of our time, a cost of our energy. It costs us to go out and bring people in, but then it costs us to prepare the place for them to come to, right? I mean, that's why our tithes, our offerings, all that is so important, because there is cost involved in the mission, both economical and of time and of energy. There's got to be people here early enough to welcome people, to encourage people. There's got to be money to buy a nice little gift for somebody. There's got to be all of these things to show people in ways that they can see and in ways that they can hear the love of Jesus Christ. We've got to be willing to bear a personal cost. It's got to be, we have to have the compassion, we have to have the creativity, and then we've got to bear the cost, a personal cost. Then lastly, we've got to have personal confidence. Let's read what happens. Verse number 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Look at verse number 5. Could you read these five words with me that ready begin? When Jesus saw their faith. Them, the group, all of them. Who's the there? I think it's probably all of them. I think it's the man in the bed and the men holding the ropes. When he saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there's a lot of theological stuff here, so I'm going to have to not talk about that. Stick with the practical here today. Skip down to verse number 10. There was a dispute. Jesus can't forgive their sins. Who does he think he is? So Jesus settles it once and for all. He says in verse 10, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Let me prove this to you now, that I have that power, Jesus says. He looks at the man that's sick of the palsy in verse number 11. I say unto thee, go ahead, say it with me. Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. Verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. I mean, what a miracle. What a miracle. that only Jesus can do. But you know why it was done? Because these men had confidence. They had faith. When Jesus saw their faith, and it's faith that empowers all of us, because we know, I don't have the compassion inside of me. I don't have the creativity inside of me. I certainly, if it was just up to me, I wouldn't bear the cost. But I can trust God to do it through me. I can believe that if I get someone to Jesus, he can do a miracle in their life. We've got to have the faith. We've got to believe. We can't get beaten down and worn down by oh, I've tried this, I've tried that, we've done this. I've been at this, Pastor Ethan, I've been at this for years. I've heard all this, I've done this before. But have you lost your confidence? Have you lost your faith? Have you lost the belief that God is still in the miracle-making business? Why? Because Jesus is here. The mission has to get personal. We've got to get people to Jesus. Personal compassion, creativity, cost, and confidence. Let's pray. Lord, give us your hunger for souls. Give us your burden to reach people with the gospel. Give us ideas. Give us insights. Help us not to get distracted with our own busy lives that we forget that you put us here for a reason. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.